You're listening to EPN, the e-podcast network.
Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network, your channel for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and some of the world's top executives who share business strategies and insights that can all help you build your business, leading to your business success. And now, broadcasting from anywhere between Brazil, South America to Los Angeles, California, it is your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, working in conjunction with our Legal Corner, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. In our series conclusion, we are once again with our Legal Corner expert, Mr. Michael Rubenstein, the owner of the law office of Michael E. Rubenstein, a personal injury practice serving clients throughout Los Angeles and Orange counties. Prior to graduating Loyola Law School, Michael was ordained as a rabbi by a panel of prominent international rabbis. He uses his unique background as a rabbi and lawyer to help successfully represent his clients in a variety of personal injury matters. Today we will be discussing a personal injury case and what to expect in your personal injury case if the need arises. Mr. Rubenstein, always great to have you, and thanks for joining us once again here on Enterprise Radio.
Thanks for once again having me back, Eric.
And you're more than welcome, and always great to have you with us, and looking forward to future interviews with you as well. So you've been on the show several times to discuss various issues in accident and personal injury law in California, and I'd like to focus today on what clients can expect in the typical personal injury case. First off, after a client's been injured in an auto accident, for instance, how long do they have to hire a lawyer?
Well, Eric, that depends on what kind of a case it is and who the possible defendant is. And by defendant, I mean the person responsible for the client's injuries. So if a negligent person is responsible for another person's injuries, and that person is a private civilian, in California there's a statute of limitations of 2 years. So 2 years from the date of the injury is the cutoff point. After that date, an injury victim cannot file a lawsuit or further pursue his or her case against the negligent driver responsible for his or her injuries. However, if it's a government entity that's responsible for the client's injuries, there's much less time. That's because in California, the law requires one to first file what's known as a government claim before suing the government in court. It's a procedural mechanism to sort of put the government on notice, because we're dealing with taxpayer dollars here. The idea is we want to give the government a chance to try to resolve it, marshal the taxpayer dollars in order to try to effectuate a quick settlement. In reality, that almost never happens. As we all know, government has two speeds, slow and slower. So you'll have 6 months from the date of the accident to file a government claim. It's much less time than if it were a private civilian. After you file the government claim, the government will have 45 days to either pay the claim or deny it. Many times what the government does is they just ignore it. And the law provides for that. The law provides that if the government does not respond to the government claim, it is considered a denial. So after that 45 days, the plaintiff will then be able to sue in court, but only after going through these sort of procedural hoops. And the plaintiff will only have another 6 months from the date of the denial. So it's less than the normal 2 years. Many people don't know that, and then they're surprised when they present a late claim, only to have it thrown out of court because they did not comply with these important procedural differences in government cases. So it's always important to talk to a lawyer as soon as possible, just because we don't want people to lose out on their rights by acting in a delaying manner.
I got to tell you, 2 years is a long time, and I was really surprised to hear that you have up to 2 years in a private situation there. Now, certainly all interesting information that you've shared here. Now, when you say government entity, as you mentioned earlier, can you explain what you mean by that, and do people really sue the government for personal injuries?
Absolutely, Eric. It's very common, especially here in Los Angeles. The city of LA, where I am here in Los Angeles. The city has thousands of employees. Last count was almost 50,000 employees. And there's thousands of employees driving city vehicles out and about in the city. Last week, I actually took a deposition in a case I have against the city, and the attorney for the city handling the case told me he's got so many cases now, and some of them include garbage truck and fire truck accident cases. We wouldn't think that kind of stuff happens, but it actually does. So those are sort of city vehicle cases. Another common one here in Los Angeles is sidewalk trip and fall cases. I've mentioned on your show before that the sidewalks in Los Angeles are in horrible shape. They haven't been repaired in years. There's a lot of trees causing damage to the city sidewalks. People are tripping and getting very badly hurt every single day here in Los Angeles. I actually received a call yesterday from a parent of a young boy who was riding his bicycle on the sidewalk and went over a bump in the sidewalk, caused him to lose control of his bike, and he smacked into a tree, breaking his wrist. So, yes, there are potential lawsuits against the city of L.A. I'm currently handling several of them, and I have in the past. California law does afford immunity, meaning a suit can't be brought against the government in certain types of cases. I'll give you an example. If somebody is injured by a police vehicle that is pursuing a suspect, we're all familiar with the police chases. In fact, somebody told me that he thinks police chases were invented in California. There seems to be one every single day. And going back in history, we all know of certain cases where police chases were very caught the public's attention. Let's just put it that way. If somebody's injured by a police vehicle pursuing a suspect, the police are immune in those cases. The vehicle code offers immunity. If somebody's hiking on a public park in a public park on a trail and is injured on the trail, there's something called trail immunity. So there are immunities for certain cases against the government. But like I say, the devil is in the details. So I strongly encourage your listeners who are here in Los Angeles and California to call an attorney, find out whether there's an exception to possible government immunity. And like I mentioned before, procedures are very different when dealing with the government, so it's very important to act now, don't delay, call an attorney.
Are you ever able to resolve any of these cases out of court?
That's a very good question, Eric. In many cases, if liability is clear, an insurance company will try to resolve the case without incurring the added expenses of litigation. Remember, I've discussed on your show before, insurance companies are all about the bottom line. If they can cut costs, they will. So yes, I am able to resolve cases out of court through tough negotiating with insurance companies. But if they don't play fair, the gloves come off. I will litigate the case if I have to make sure my clients get the compensation they deserve. I've done it in the past. I'm currently doing it in several of my cases, and I will continue to do it to make sure my clients are well taken care of.
Today we are joined by Mr. Michael Rubenstein, owner and founder of the law office of Michael E. Rubenstein, a personal injury law practice that represents clients in Los Angeles and throughout Southern California here on Enterprise Radio, a part of the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Don't forget, you can follow the show on Twitter at ePodcast Network, and we're also streaming on demand 24/7 on TuneIn Radio and the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. Now, Mr. Rubenstein, how long does a typical case take?
That depends on many factors. It depends on the injuries the client has, the treatment, the medical evaluation. It depends on whether a lawsuit is necessary. Like I mentioned, sometimes we're able to resolve cases without filing a lawsuit through negotiations. When we do file a lawsuit, that can take more time, and that's because the courts here in Los Angeles County especially are backed up. Insurance companies know that, and they try to use that as a negotiating tactic by saying, take some money now or, you know, file a lawsuit and see you in 2 years. It's just another delay tactic, but that doesn't stop us here at my law office from fighting. When it comes to getting justice for my clients, I'm as patient as I can be. Delay tactics don't work with me. Insurance companies know that. The bottom line is, Eric, there's no one-size-fits-all approach to a personal injury case. I tailor the approach for each client's individual needs. I'm patient yet tenacious to achieve justice for my clients. and I would be for your Los Angeles listeners too.
And lastly, of course, what can clients expect when they do hire you, the rabbi lawyer?
Well, unlike other firms where a client's file might get lost in the shuffle or where the attorney may go on vacation for months at a time, when clients hire me, they're getting me. I don't hide behind assistants or paralegals. Now, they do very important work. They're very essential to the effective running of a law practice. But clients at the end of the day want to talk to their lawyer, and that's me. If I get a call from the insurance company, as soon as I hang up, I'm on the phone with the client giving him or her an update. I'm sending emails. I even text sometimes with my clients. The goal is to keep them reasonably apprised of all significant developments in their case. And I pride myself on my ability to promptly communicate with my clients and keep them updated. That's sort of drawing on the rabbi portion of myself as the rabbi lawyer. It's how I'd like to be treated if I were in the client's position, so it's how I treat my clients. It's also a very important ethical requirement for every attorney. When I was in law school, a representative from the California State Bar came to speak to our class. State Bar is the regulatory agency involved with overseeing lawyers here in the state of California. And this representative told us the number one complaint against lawyers by their clients: lawyers who do not respond to phone calls and do not communicate with their clients. If a client's in the dark and doesn't know what's going on with the case, that leads to frustration and disappointment. And thankfully, that doesn't happen here, Eric.
And that certainly does separate you from the rest of the crowd, without a question. If you would, tell our listeners where they can get more information about your firm, Michael E. Rubenstein.
I encourage your listeners to visit my website at rabbilawyer.com, RABBILAWYER.com. I maintain a daily tort talk blog where I often discuss important issues in California personal injury and tort law. I'm also on Facebook and Twitter at Rabbi Lawyer, and I'm also on Instagram, hashtag Rabbi Lawyer.
As always, great to have you with us, and let's do this again.
Looking forward to the next time, Eric.
And I am as well. We've been speaking with, once again, Mr. Michael Rubenstein, owner and founder of the law office of Michael E. Rubenstein, a personal injury law practice that represents clients in Los Angeles and throughout Southern California. And you can learn more by visiting his website and reading his daily Tort Talk blog at rabbilawyer.com. Also, follow him on Twitter at Rabbi Lawyer, Facebook at Rabbi Lawyer, and now Instagram, hashtag Rabbi Lawyer. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Pick up our iPhone or Android mobile app for your exclusive mobile listening convenience. And once again, we do thank you for tuning in.
Thanks again for listening to Enterprise Radio here on the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. To subscribe for future programming, simply visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.